Continuing on in our series in the book of 2 Timothy, if you remember last week we looked at chapter 1, this week we're going to look at chapter 2, so if you want to start making your way to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I know you brought your toolbox with you because you wouldn't have come to work without your tools, amen? But if you've happened to have left your toolbox in the car, well, reach up and grab one of those Bibles in front of you there. We're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2 today. Looked at chapter 1 last week, and we'll do 3 and 4 in the weeks to come. I know, before you say anything, but Pastor Danny, there's 26 verses in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I know, we'll still get out on time, I promise. And if you're really in a hurry, the door is not locked. All right, how will you be remembered? Let me ask you that. How will you be remembered? You know, that's an important thing. What will people think about you? What will people say about you when you're gone? Several of us were here yesterday for the food box ministry, and we were sitting around, and we got to talking about Becky's mom and dad. And most everybody, all of us there, had a memory about her dad, and a couple had memories about her mom. But, you know, they were all good memories, well, at least the ones we could tell the church anyway, right? But how will you be remembered? How will people remember you? Well, for the Apostle Paul, that was not an idle question. You know, you might say, people think I was this, people think I was that. I don't know. I don't really even care what people think. You know, maybe that was it. But this was not an idle question when Paul was asked. If he had been asked this question. Because you see, as I told you, when he wrote 2 Timothy, he was in prison. He was in chains. He was down in what was a septic hole. I did some more studying about that this week, that Mamertine prison I told you about that he was in. And what they would do is they would the prisoners that were in that hole were due to be executed. If they didn't die of something before they got executed, they would be executed and their bodies would be thrown back in that hole, and they would open the gate and flood the water, the sewage water, through that tank and out into the river. This is where Paul is right now as he's writing this letter. So you can only begin to imagine the conditions. I don't need to describe those to you, I don't think. I think we covered that well enough last week. He is facing imminent death. There's no gray area this time. There's no getting around it. He knows he's going to die. His days were numbered and the numbers were quickly running out. He didn't have 5 years, and he probably didn't even have 5 months. We don't know. But he didn't have time to worry about trying to get his affairs in order. The grains of sand had nearly all slipped through Paul's hourglass. Could not help but think about the Days of Our Lives soap opera while I was writing that, as the grains of sand. But death by beheading was not far away, and Paul knew he would never get out of prison alive. That's why I believe he said, I have finished my race. For him, the race of life was almost over, and only one thing was left to do, and that was to send a message to his young protege, Timothy, and give Timothy a final word of encouragement. Then Paul could face his death with grace and courage. Paul writes in to Timothy in verse 1, he said, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's trying to encourage Timothy. He has taken Timothy since the time he was a very young adolescent, you know, teenager, and has taken him and mentored him and taught him and developed him all along over the years. And he calls him my son in the faith. So Paul's not telling Timothy, by the way, I don't want you to think here for a minute that Paul is telling Timothy to muster up your own strength. You know, we like to tell people, pull up your big boy boots, put on your big boy britches, and you know, and life's tough and come on. That's not what Paul is telling him. Instead, he points Timothy to the source of true strength, the grace that is found in Christ Jesus. Grace is God's undeserved favor. We've heard this. It's His undeserved favor, our undeserved favor and power for living the Christian life. We live in a world that is constantly shifting and changing. The culture changes. The news cycle spins. Let me stop right there for a minute. If you are getting your news or your theology from Facebook, don't talk to me. I love you. I love you heart and soul. But don't talk to me if that's where your news source is. There is so many stupid rumors going around on Facebook. You know, as if our life isn't screwed up enough, we got people posting stuff on Facebook about things that are going to happen, and all it is they started a rumor. So if you're getting your news and you know, listen, I think Facebook's great if you want to get in touch with your high school buddies from way back when or your Aunt Sally who lives two states away. That's fine. But if you're reading it and you're going on there and watching these reels and everything, trying to get you some good theology and good news, you're good luck. That's all I can tell you. Okay, get down off that soapbox, Danny. The news cycle spins and people's opinions are swayed by the latest headline. But the Apostle Paul writes to a young pastor by the name of Timothy. And he's doing it to give him a charge. A charge that is as vital for us today as it was for Timothy back then. Paul's not writing some kind of a self-help guide. Grace and faith for dummies, you know. That's not what he's doing. He is writing a survival guide for Christian faithfulness. And I think you and I could use that book today. It's called the Bible, by the way, if you're wondering about it. This is a straight-to-the-point advice to young Timothy. Paul's not pulling any punches now. He tells him right out. He said, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace." He said, "In the things that you have heard from me," Paul says, "you've heard things from me." He said, "say in the presence of others." In other words, go teach it. Go teach it to other people who are reliable and can take that message and teach it to someone else. I want you to think about this for a minute, church. Think about this. I want you to think, close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes. I want you to envision Jesus hanging on the cross. He knows that death is imminent. It's just a matter. He knows he's going to die. You got that imagery? All right, wake back up. He spoke words. Words are powerful. Words are powerful to us today. They still have meaning. They still have direction. They still have guidance. And we need to listen to good, reliable teaching. We need to listen to words like what Jesus said, words of forgiveness, when he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Words of care, as Jesus was hanging on there and he looked at his mother Mary and he said, "Mary, woman, behold your son." Talking about John was going to take care of her. Words of trust. When Christ was hanging there, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit myself and my spirit." But even in Jesus' final moments, he focused on glorifying God and loving others. And that's what Paul is trying to teach Timothy. And that's what I'm trying to say today. Because like Jesus and Paul, we are called to use our final moments and our words to point others to God's grace and truth. Listen, if you know you're about to die, and I hope everybody does know that, I'm not trying to be morbid, I'm not trying to bring anybody down, but listen, the truth of it is we were born to die. It's just the reality of it. But if you knew you were about to die, you don't waste a bunch of time and you don't waste a bunch of words, do you? You're going to get straight to the point and get things done, because look, I'm running out of time. Paul gives Timothy three pieces of advice. He tells him, be strong, be steadfast, and be sanctified. And so the message is clear, at least I hope it is. That is what we must do. That's what you and I must do. This is our calling, our challenge, our mission from God. Be strong in the Lord. Stand strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. And when times are tough, and guess what? They're going to be tough. You know, you think we've been through some tough times, it's going to get worse. Scripture tells us that. Beautiful thing about it, all of us who are born-again believers in Jesus Christ, we won't be here when it really gets bad. We're out of here on the next rapture. Showed you my cards on how I believe about that. Be strong. Stand strong. When your times are tough, be strong. And when you feel like giving up, Be strong. See a pattern being there? You know, to be strong, it speaks of our moral courage in the face of unrelenting opposition. To be strong in grace means that you don't rely on yourself when times are tough. You rely on the Lord and the Lord alone. All right, 3 points to my message this morning. Point number one, what do you think it is? Be strong. Yeah, be strong. Be strong in the grace of Christ. Paul begins with a crucial command, and I've read it and I'll read it again. He said, you therefore, you got to go back and see what he's talking about. It's there for a reason. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. But notice what Paul does not say. You know, sometimes we get caught up in what people do say that we forget what they did not say. He doesn't say to Timothy, now Timothy, you muster up some strength. You be a big boy. You be courageous and you try hard and you be strong, Timothy. No, Paul points at Timothy and to you and I and to the only, he points us to the source, the true source of enduring strength, the grace of Christ Jesus. And how can somebody be strong in grace, you might be sitting there thinking. I don't understand this connection, Pastor. It really doesn't make sense to me. How can someone be strong in grace? Well, I'll tell you. Grace is God's undeserved favor, as we talked about. And just as we're saved by His grace, we should live by His grace. We should trust completely in Christ, in His power, and not trying to live for Christ in our strength alone. If you're depending on you, you are in trouble. If you're depending on your pastor, you're in even bigger trouble. Because guess what? Each and every one of us, we will make mistakes. We are fallible. We are wicked. We are nasty. We are sinners. Oh, but I walked the line. I've received Christ. I did too, but I'm still a sinner, and so are you. And we'll be until the day we walk through the gates. So stop stinking. Stop, you know, I'm the old-fashioned way. We believed in pulling up our boots and going at it strong. Well, good. But you might want to do that right after you beg Christ to lead your way. Realize and utilize Jesus' power. He will give you the strength to do His work. That's what it's talking about. Grace is not just the undeserved merit. It is also God's divine enablement. God enabling you and I to do something. The power that comes into our weaknesses to help us live the Christian life that we're called to live. Listen, if you are exhausted, you're distracted, or you feel like you're failing, the solution is not always more grit. Sometimes, you know, and I've preached on that here. I talked about grit. Now, yeah, I just like that word, grit. I don't know. You know, boy got grit about him, you know. But listen, there's more to it than just that. I do it on my own merits, and you'll fail by your own merits. So it's not always more grit. It's more grace. More of God's grit, maybe. God told Paul in 2 Corinthians in 12:9. He said, my grace, Paul, my grace is what, church? Is sufficient for you, Paul. For you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness, Paul. My grace, Paul. My grace, Danny. My grace, church. God's grace. Paul gives three imageries in this chapter to illustrate what strength looks like. He talks about that focused soldier. And if you've ever been in the military, you can appreciate this. A good soldier is not distracted. Scripture says, Paul says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this world. Our war is a spiritual one. He is telling us we've got to quit getting tangled up in all of this secondary noise, this often trivial pursuit of the affairs of the world, the grudges, the gossip, and the pursuit of things that don't last. We've got to focus on pleasing the one who enlisted us into his army. Focused. We have to be focused on our mission, church. The mission that we were called to do. We were called by the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, to go into all the world teaching and making disciples. That is our mission. We're to be focused upon that. All the branches of the military have special forces units within them. They've got the SEALs, you've got the Green Beret, you've got all of these highly, highly trained military personnel. And what sets them apart, other than that specialty training, that sets them apart from any other soldier is the fact that they are laser focused on what it is they're supposed to be doing. So when the mission comes up, they are ready to go at a moment's notice. Paul talks about also in this in verse 5, he talks about the disciplined athlete. That's a category I didn't fit into. Y'all may not know this about me, but I ran cross-country track. Smoked like a freight train. Obviously, running cross-country was not my high point in life. But a disciplined athlete is obedient to the rules. Paul says he, the athlete, is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. We don't get to make up our own rules for our spiritual life. We must submit to God's word. You cannot run the Christian race your way and expect him to give you a crown. You see, the strength of grace empowers us to live God's way. Then he talks about one that I'm sure that most of us can understand around this area because we live in a farming community. Verse 6, he talks about a farmer being patient and persevering. He said the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Ministry and faithfulness are not always spectacular or instantaneous. We think that if I get on my knees and I start praying right now, as soon as I get up and turn around, it will be done. Now, I can tell you, I don't know a lot about farming, but I can tell you, I bet you every farmer in the world has prayed, Lord, let my crop grow. But they did not expect it to stand up and turn around and say, oh, it doesn't happen that way. It takes work. It takes discipline. And we must not grow weary. Grace gives you the stamina to keep planting, to keep watering, and to trust God for the harvest. Point number 2, be steadfast. Be steadfast and be steadfast in the truth. Paul tells Timothy, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now let me stop and clarify in case anybody's wondering what that means, my gospel. It just simply means the message that Paul was telling you. Okay, message little g, gospel little g means message. Gospel big G means Jesus, okay? Paul is just simply saying that remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to the message that I told you. Okay? He says the resurrection of Jesus is his anchor and it's the non-defined, non-negotiable truth of his faith. And he is encouraging Timothy to be steadfast in that. He said, listen, I'm in jail, I'm suffering under all this, and I'm doing it because of the preaching of the gospel, but he proclaims the word of God is not chained. You need to be steadfast and get out there and do it. Don't stop. Paul said that Jesus was God. When he did that, it angered the Jews. He angered the Romans when he said that he would not worship the emperor as God. He angered the Greeks when he told them that Jesus and God were one and the same. The Greeks didn't believe that. He angered many people, but that didn't stop him from doing what he was called to do. And the world is full of those who would shut us down if they could possibly do it. They would love nothing better than to get us to stop talking about this Jesus person, for crying out loud. Isn't that what the chief priest wanted to do? Stop people from talking about Jesus? It seems like they're still trying to do that today. And we must be prepared. We must stand steadfast. We must stand strong and say, look, I'm not going to cower to your intimidation. Your attempts to scare me to stop from doing this. Okay, so what if you put me in jail? Paul says, I don't care. You know, unless you're doing something illegal, they can't put you in jail in the United States of America for preaching Jesus. They cannot come in this sanctuary right now and arrest me and take me downtown Fincastle and put me in a jail cell for the only reason given as that I was preaching Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Can't do it. Cannot do it. So we must be steadfast in preaching that gospel message to the world. That's what Paul is telling Timothy to do. He tells him, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of those people who are going to put you down because you're young. Don't let them look down on you across their little pointy noses. Don't worry about them. Steadfast. Stand strong. Got a little ahead of myself there. Point number three. Point number three, be sanctified. Be sanctified. If we are to have an unstoppable impact, we must be sanctified for God's use. That is, if you're wondering, what does he mean by sanctified? Glad you asked. That means set apart and cleansed. You've been sanctified. You've been set apart and you've been cleansed. What does that mean? Well, let's see. When you made that walk, you said, Lord, take me in control. I confess I'm a sinner. I believe. I confess. I accept. Now you are cleansed. Now be set apart. Be a part of this group. Be a part of those who will go out and do this. Be a part of those who will go out and teach and preach this message. Paul urged Timothy to be the kind of person that Christ could use for the noblest of purposes. Don't settle for less than God's highest and best for your life. Allow him to use you as an instrument of his will. You hear me often pray, use me as you choose. That's what I was created for. That's what we're here for, to serve him. Use me as you choose. I remember reading one time a biker that got reformed from, you know, was in the throes of motorcycle gang, you know, just the deepest, darkest parts of it, and he could tell stories that would just make the most hardened person cry. And he got saved. And he said that his prayer was that he would pray. He said, Lord, if there's anything you can find here that you can use for your glory, it's yours. You can have it. He said, but I'm pretty sure I have ruined everything there is right here, but use me as you choose. That's how we need to be looking at it. Use me as you choose. Seek godly fellowship. Invite believing friends over to encourage one another in your walk with the Lord. God can redeem any situation. We must be ready to be used by him at a moment's notice. This goes back to what I was talking about earlier when I was talking about those special forces people, those Navy SEALs, those Delta Team guys. They are laser focused and they're ready to go at a moment's notice. I mean, they get a phone call now, they're gone. Are you ready? Are you and I ready? Are we that ready to stand up for Jesus in a moment's notice? When the time, the opportunity comes and the Lord says, I need you to go, are you saying, well, you know, I got vacation scheduled this week, Lord. My family and I, we always rent a house at the beach. Can you use me maybe a couple of weeks from now? Because after I get back, I got Be the kind of person that God can use. God can redeem you. We just must be ready to be used by Him. We choose so often, though. We want it our way. Paul is trying to impart to Timothy, his young son, be strong. Be steadfast. Be sanctified. Paul's advice to Timothy and to all who teach God's truth is to be kind and gentle, patiently and courteously explaining the truth. Paul is trying to tell Timothy that good teaching never promotes quarrels or foolish arguments. He's trying to tell him, stand strong. Don't get in the idle conversations, the idle noise. Our day and time, I would take that back to Facebook. You know, people post stuff every day. There's people posting stuff right now as we are here in this sanctuary that I promise you that you, me, and many others would not agree with. You're thinking, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard of in my life. You know how to shut that down? You want me to tell you how to shut it down? It's called an off button on your computer, by the way. But just ignore it. Don't engage it. My daddy always said, boy, don't never get in an argument with a skunk, you know. You're going to not come out smelling too good. Be strong. Stand firm. Stand up for what you believe. We've all heard it, you know, stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Stand strong. Be sanctified. You remember I told you we're still sinners. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner. We just happen to have an additional title to ours. Ours is sinner saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. But when you sin, and you're going to sin before this day is over. If you have not already, you're going to. And if you have, you probably will again. The key to it is you've been forgiven for that sin, church. But the key to it is to ask Him to give you the strength to repent of that sin. Sanctify me, Lord. Set me apart from it. You've cleansed me of it. Now set me apart. I'm going to wrap up. Are you trying to be strong in your own power? Stop. Depend on the grace of Christ. Are you tempted to compromise the truth just so you can fit in? Stop. Be steadfast in the truth of God's word. Are you letting sin, bitterness, or conflict make you useful or useless? Be sanctified. Be cleansed and be ready for God's use. I pray that we'll be faithful servants who are strong, steadfast, and set apart, shining as lights in the dark, in a dark, dark world, as we wait for our Christ, the light, to return. And so I want to ask you this morning one quick question. Are you prepared? Are you prepared for your last day as Paul was for his? You can be. You can be today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we fail so much. We allow our strength to dwindle. We allow ourselves to look within when we think we can overcome this problem. Instead of looking up and looking to you to seek your grace, your strength, We want to call ourselves steadfast, standing on the rock of truth. Well, at least that is until somebody opposes us. And then we cower. Oh, yes, yes, Lord, we did. You remember we came to you and we asked you to cleanse us of our sins. And you said you would, and you did. And so we thank you for that. Help us to be sanctified. Help us to remember that we are to repent. We are to turn from our sins. Father, all of this is possible because of your love for us and because of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and paid that debt that he did not owe because we owed a debt that we could not pay. And Lord, if there be one here today that doesn't know that truth, one who has never confessed that truth, one who has never made that confession of faith, who said, Lord Jesus, take control of my life, if there be one here today or one who hears this message, I beg you, Father God, that you would stir their soul to unrest until they would call out to Christ for relief. Father, we love you, we praise you, we worship you, and we seek only to serve you. And so this we pray and this we ask today in the name of your Son, our Savior, Christ Jesus, and all of God's people said, Amen.